the Financial Sense Lifetime Income Program. Now, here's the Financial Sense News Team, Jim Poplava and Chris Prytower.
Hi, everyone. I'm Jim Poplava, and welcome to another edition of Lifetime Planning.
And I'm Chris Prytower. And, you know, we're entering the final months of the year. In fact, many of you will be retiring this year because 10,000 baby boomers retire each and every day. Many of you will have to make decisions on Social Security, Medicare, and what you do with your company's pension options, whether it's a 401k, profit sharing, or maybe deferred compensation. But the decisions that you make, in most cases, they can't be reversed. So it's important that you make the right choices for you and your loved ones. And that's the topic of today's program, designing optimal retirement income strategies.
Yeah, I want to focus today on what we call lump sum options, because that's usually what happens when you either leave a company and go work for another company, or you're getting ready to retire. Most people will take a lump sum. I want to talk about the various options because you also have what I call in-service options, which allow you to take the money out of your pension while you're still working, such as, for example, loans or perhaps hardship withdrawals. That is a topic for another show, but what I want to cover today is three basic options, maybe four if you look at Roth, that you have available should you decide to retire this year. And those three options are: one, you take the money and you pay the taxes. You just say to yourself, I need this money to live on. I can't defer it. Option number two, you roll it over into an IRA. And option number three, you annuitize your pension. And there's also the possibility of a fourth option, which is to take part of the money and you convert it to a Roth IRA, paying the taxes up front. So let's look at these options individually. Believe it or not, folks, there are so many rules, and we're going to cover all of these rules. You will be surprised. Like anything else, our tax code has become more complicated. It's the same with distributions. Now, the bulk of most pension options get rolled over into an IRA when the individual retires. But let's begin with the first option, which is to take the pension in cash and you're going to pay the taxes. Usually, this is done when a large amount of money is needed up front. Maybe you have medical expenses. Maybe you need money to buy a home to live in. Basically, you're going to need that money to live because simply the returns of leaving it there aren't going to be sufficient enough. And we'll talk about some options regarding that later on. For example, let's say you're working and you're laid off. And you decide, or maybe you just want to start a business, or you're heading into retirement. You want to purchase a retirement home. You have large medical expenses due to an illness or for some other purpose. Now, under these circumstances, it may be appropriate to take the money in a lump sum and have that large pool of cash for living expenses. This can be expensive, though, depending on the amount, as it may push an individual into a higher tax bracket. It is an option that in some cases could be appropriate depending on what one's living needs are.
So there are legitimate reasons for taking the cash and paying the taxes. Let's go ahead and move on to the second option, which is rolling over your 401k or pension into an IRA rollover.
Now, when it comes to rollovers, there's basically two options. One is if an individual changes companies or jobs, they may elect to roll over their previous pension to the new company's 401k plan, as they still plan on working and they don't have the time or, let's say, want the responsibility of managing the money. So this leaves the option of rolling over your 401k or a pension into a IRA through a rollover. Now, the rollover is a tax-free transfer of cash or securities from one retirement plan to another. So let's talk about the three different types of rollovers. Like I said, this gets complicated. There's different options available and there's different rules. The first is what we call a conduit IRA. Under this rollover, the individual merely shifts some or all of their assets from the qualified plan of the employer that they're leaving to the qualified plan of another employer. And for this, you use what is called a conduit IRA as an intermediate step. A conduit IRA cannot accept regular IRA contributions. Basically, kind of look at this as a temporary holding tank until you can get over to the new company and whatever funds or assets you have in the previous employer's plan is rolled over to the new employer. And more importantly, maintaining the qualified character of the distribution by using a conduit IRA may provide certain advantages and flexibilities. Let's talk about those. For one, IRAs and qualified plans are treated differently when it comes to required minimum distributions. Now, effective 2010 and subsequent years, the required minimum distribution date for beginning required distributions from employer-sponsored plans to participants, and here's a little caveat, other than 5% owners of the business, is April 1st of the year following the later of attainment age 70 and a half, or retirement. In contrast, the date for RMDs and regular IRAs is April 1st following attainment of age 70 and a half. So regardless when an individual retires. Additionally, employer-sponsored plans may offer loans, an option not available from an IRA. In addition, early distributions from an IRA before age 59 and a half is subject to a 10% early withdrawal penalty. Qualified plan distributions may be accessed penalty-free following termination of employment after age 55 instead of waiting to age 59 and a half. So basically, you have access to your funds 4.5 years earlier without paying that 10% penalty.
I never knew there were so many options, Jim, so many options that are treated differently from a tax perspective. But what about a straight rollover? How is that affected?
Well, Chris, as you can imagine, there's rules there as well. A direct rollover is eligible. It's an eligible distribution, and basically it's paid directly to an IRA for the benefit of the employee. They are allowed from pension plans, SEPs, tax-sheltered annuities, or what we call 403B plans, or government 457 plans. You are basically rolling over a qualified plan into your own personal IRA. Now, the IRS is going to require the plan administrator to report the distribution that is rolled over on what we call Form 1099-R. So just remember, when you roll over an IRA, when you retire, or your pension plan, 401k plan to an IRA, you are going to get a 1099 your employer is going to issue you. You need to save that and keep it and give it to your tax accountant because there's a special line on your tax return where this is reported and there's zero tax. Now, the rollover rules require your plan to be paid to an IRA by means of a direct rollover. So unless the participant elects to have the distribution rolled over to another retirement plan or to receive the distribution directly, and we're going to talk about that because there's special rules regarding that, the plan administrator must also provide you, the employee, with a written notice. Basically, they're telling you, look, we're going to roll this over to your IRA, and we're going to be sending you a 1099. So you don't freak out at the end of the year, and you rolled over $1 million pension, and you got a 1099 for $1 million. There's also a direct distribution to the plan participant where they can get the funds directly, but must, within 60 days, roll it over to an IRA or be subject to income taxes on the amount of the distribution. This indirect form of rollover has two distinct disadvantages. Number one, you rule out the opportunity to roll over into a new employer plan is eliminated. And here's the gotcha. 20% of the gross amount of that check is withheld for taxes. Current rules require a mandatory 20% withholding to be imposed on any plan like a 401k, 403b, or 457 plan that issues a distribution check to the participant. So let's say, I don't know, you're invested in a bunch of mutual funds. You're not quite sure what you want to do. You just say, you know what, just send me a check. Well, the problem with that, by sending you a check to you personally, now, you've got 60 days to roll that over. They're going to withhold 20%. There are some distributions that do not qualify for a rollover, and maybe we should cover a few of those because, like I said, there's all kinds of rules and regulations. For example, distributions that are part of a series of substantially equal periodic payments for the life of the participant, basically kind of like an annuitization, aren't. Distributions for a specified period of 10 years or more, distributions that are made to comply with minimum requirements after age 70 and a half, corrective distributions of excess contributions to a 401k plan. So let's say the limit is $19,000, but you put in $21,000 by accident. They forgot to stop your payments. That is not eligible for a rollover. Plans treated as distributions. I mean, there's about hardship distributions, IRAs inherited by someone other than a surviving spouse. So there's a bunch of reasons that you can't do that. So it's very important that you're made aware of it.
So Jim, as we look at these rollovers, what are the pros and cons? If you could break those down, because it seems like they're preferable to paying taxes up front.
Well, there are five distinct advantages of a rollover. And, you know, we need to talk about these because they're, you know, it's probably the most common. Number one is continued tax deferral. In other words, let's say you're getting ready to retire, but you don't need the money. You've got other personal assets. You just sold your home. Maybe you have deferred comp. You can continue to defer a good portion of it until at least age 70 and a half. Number two, flexibility. The ability to take as much or as little as you want. Number three, you may have more expanded pension options. Maybe at the company, all your choices were basically mutual funds. They were somewhat limited, or ETFs, where if they're in an IRA, you can buy individual bonds, individual stocks. In other words, your investment choices expand tremendously. Number four, the ability to consolidate accumulations from various plans. This is something I want to get to because it gets to point five. It simplifies computation on required minimum distributions. One of the things that you're going to want to do, let's say that you've been contributing to an IRA or maybe some kind of other pension plan, you're going to want to consolidate all of these into one IRA rollover, because one of the issues that you're going to have when you turn age 70 and a half, you're going to have a required minimum distribution on all of your retirement assets in an IRA. And many people have, Chris, three or four IRAs. They may have, you know, one IRA with one advisor, one IRA with one brokerage firm, one IRA with a mutual fund company. And here's the problem. A lot of times you forget, oh, I forgot about that small IRA I had at that mutual fund company. And here's the problem. If you do not take out the required amount, there's a 50% tax penalty. And this is easy to forget about. And especially as you age, maybe your memory isn't as great. You've got, you know, I've seen people have had 10 or 12 IRAs all over the place with different mutual fund companies, different brokerage companies, different advisors. So you don't want to do that. Now, let's talk about the disadvantages, because there are a couple. Individuals may need the funds for current living expenses, and that's why we talked about that first option is just taking it in cash versus rolling it over, because you need it for whatever reasons, medical expenses. You need it to buy a retirement home. Number two, if you have, for example, you work for a company and part of your pension was company stock, if you roll it over into an IRA, you lose the ability to elect what we call the net unrealized appreciation or favorable capital gains treatment. And there's, you know, we need to do a show on this because I see the mistakes. A lot of people aren't aware. If you have company stock, there's a way to turn that company stock and have it taxed favorably at a capital gains tax rate versus anything you pull out of an IRA is just going to be simply taxed as ordinary income. So you forego that. Number three, money in a qualified plan is protected from the claims of non-bankruptcy or creditors. I had many years ago, I had a doctor who was sued. He was called in the ER over the weekend. He did some surgery and then was later sued. And we had him, Chris, defer his retirement because as long as his assets were in that retirement plan, the creditors couldn't get after or get at those funds in the case of a lawsuit. So there's a couple of reasons why, for example, there are some disadvantages if you rolled over to an IRA.
The Federal Reserve lowered interest rates. Yields on bonds, CDs, and treasuries are trending lower. How will lower rates impact your income? Do you have a plan to protect your investments in a falling interest rate environment? Financial Sense Wealth Management can help you develop an investment strategy and create a portfolio that protects principal and maintains income. Call Financial Sense Wealth Management to schedule an appointment with a portfolio manager at 888-486-3939 or email us at grow@financialsense.com. Advisory services offered through Financial Sense Advisors Incorporated, a registered investment advisor. Securities offered through Financial Sense Securities Incorporated. Member FINRA SIPC. Both companies doing business as Financial Sense Wealth Management.
Well, let's go ahead and move on to annuitization of pension benefits. In fact, that's a discussion that we had last week with Mike Robinson, a great show that for our listeners, if you haven't heard, I do recommend listening to. But Jim, can you break down some of the details as it relates to annuitization?
This is an option, Chris, I think you're going to see more of in the future because of this low interest rate environment that we now find ourselves in. In fact, we've been in this low interest rate environment this entire decade. And also on the day we're doing this, the Fed just lowered interest rates by another quarter of a point. And, you know, we live in a world today where a third of all bonds are either 0% or negative interest rates. So it may be necessary and a viable option for individuals or let's say couples that need to annuitize because simply the amounts in their pension or 401k may not be large enough to produce a level of income that they can live on. Let me give you an example. Today, if you have 10-year treasuries, they're paying less than 2%. You've got 30-year treasuries that are paying barely over 2%. Look at it this way. If you had $1 million today and you wanted to put it into, let's say, 10-year treasuries, you didn't want to take any risk, you wanted something safe, Chris, you would be making $17,000 a year on $1 million. I don't know too many people that can live on $17,000. Or if you live in a high cost of living state like our own state of California, which not only has a high cost of living but also has high taxes, many people can't afford to live with the kind of returns they would get on their assets. So annuitizing your pension could offer a better alternative where you and your spouse get a guaranteed income for the rest of your life that you cannot outlive. In today's environment, if you're in your 60s, you're probably going to get payments closer to 5% of your pension amount. If you're in your 70s, it's probably going to range between 6-6.5%. And that may provide you with a more worry-free and more livable return. Annuitization is making a comeback. It is very similar to basically the defined benefit plans that you see in the government sector where government workers get a pension for life based on a percentage of their working salary. In essence, when you annuitize your pension, you are creating your own pension that may be more predictable than, let's say, relying on the vagaries of the stock market or what the heck the Fed is going to do with interest rates. We use immediate annuities in many of our plans where the clients need a certain predictable income to meet their living expenses. Now, let me talk about the negatives. Just as, for example, you get a pension Social Security benefit. When the last spouse passes away, your Social Security benefits do not pass on to your children. They end at your death. It's the same thing when you have a defined benefit pension plan or you annuitize. Usually that payment is going to be to you or your spouse for your entire lifetime. You cannot outlive it. The drawbacks are your kids aren't going to inherit it. When the last spouse passes away, there's not going to be assets to pass on to your children.
Well, Jim, finally, what about Roth IRAs? Because there's a lot of talk about, especially from a tax perspective, but what are some thoughts that you have on Roth IRAs?
Roth IRAs make sense when the individual has a large pension rollover. Usually, you know, you start getting in the $1 million amount. That could create a potential tax problem once they turn age 70 and a half, when you're going to be required to take distributions that are going to increase every year as you age. This gets a little bit more complicated. You may want to roll over your distribution into an IRA rollover when you retire. Then, when you're completely retired and are in a lower tax bracket, you begin rolling over a portion of your IRA into a Roth because you're going to want to be in a lower bracket when you begin the conversions, and hopefully you choose to retire in a low tax or no tax state to minimize the taxes, because it's not just federal taxes. If you live in a state that has state income taxes, you owe the governor too. So I mentioned a doctor that we work on with their plan. His intention is to move to Nevada when he retires, we're going to be rolling over nearly half of his pension into a Roth IRA over a five-year period to keep him in a lower tax bracket, along with tax-free bonds in his personal investment portfolio to keep his taxes to a minimum. He is also going to take his Social Security at age 66, because he will need that, and along with the income from his personal investments, because remember, he's going to be rolling over almost half his pension into a Roth, and it has to be there 5 years to be tax-free. The amount will be invested, and here's the part that we love, in high dividend paying stocks where the dividend yield is 4 and 5%. So when he does plan on taking the distributions, they'll be tax-free, but imagine earning 4 and 5% tax-free income. So when the Roth IRA conversion is complete, the majority of his income from his Roth and his tax-free bonds are going to be providing him with a high-level income that will be tax-free for the remainder of his life and his heirs. And so when you take a look at a Roth, the Roth conversion is probably most appropriate at retirement for those individuals or couples that are going to remain in high tax brackets when they retire, and especially those that have large amounts in their 401k or pension plans. It also makes a lot of sense moving to a no-tax state and combining Roth IRAs with tax-free bonds is probably one of my favorite strategies we use with our upper-income clients, and one I plan on using myself. I can't tell you how happy a client becomes knowing that the income they receive is free of federal and state income taxes. Because when you think about it, next to medical expenses, income taxes are going to be one of the biggest expenses you will face during your retirement. The steps you take in advance, the better off and more secure your own retirement will be. And Chris, before we conclude here, I want to summarize. There's all kinds of rules on distributions, RMDs, and rollovers. And I just want to summarize a couple of these because I think it's really important. People don't realize the mistakes that they can find themselves in. Now, let's talk about distributions. And I want to talk about the distribution option. And I want to break this into two categories: under age 59 and a half and over age 59 and a half. So you receive a distribution check to cash out the full account balance. If you're under 59 and a half, there's going to be a 20% withholding on the distribution. It's going to be ordinary income tax, and there's going to be a 10% early tax withdrawal penalty. Not a good idea. If you do it after age 59 and a half, you still have the 20% withholding distribution, but you can forward average, could be available depending on age and distribution. If you receive a distribution check, deposit all of it into a rollover IRA, a new employer plan, still a 20% withholding penalty, 10% early withdrawal. If after age 59, it's 20%. You begin a series of periodic withdrawals over life expectancy. There is no penalty, but ordinary income tax on the payments and no 10% withdrawal. There's certain cases, if you need the money, where you can annuitize your pension under age 59 and a half and avoid that 10% penalty. You roll over the funds into an IRA. You can maintain the tax deferred status. There's no tax consequences until you start taking it out. So those are basically distribution options. Now let's talk about something that's going to happen when you turn age 70 and a half. Under an IRA, you have to begin distribution options. Inherited IRA, you can base your distributions on a single life expectancy table following the year of death. A Roth IRA, there's none of this. Inherited Roth IRA, you have to begin single life expectancy in the year following the death of which you inherit it. Let's say you inherit it from a parent. There is no taxes, but you have to begin distributions. Same with 403B. And then finally, when there's a Roth under age 59 and a half and 59 and a half. Annual contributions, not subject to tax or penalty, same with 59 and a half, and qualified distributions upon death or disability, not subject to tax or penalty. Rollover conversion, not subject to tax, but not any tax penalties. And same thing with 59 and a half. Earnings, depending on when you take it out, if you leave it in there 5 years, there is no penalty or any taxes. So you can see, Chris, this gets a little complicated, requires a lot of planning in terms of how you do this, because there's so many options, so many ways to receive it. You know, I once had an individual walked in and got his distribution in a cash. distribution. He didn't like the investments at the plan, wanted to receive it in cash. What he should have done is take the distribution, roll it over to an IRA. He wasn't sure what he was going to do, and he was shocked when 20% was taken out of his funds.
Well, like you said, there's a lot to it. It can be overwhelming for folks. And so if listeners are facing retirement decisions of their own and they need help to make those complicated decisions, Jim, how can they reach a Financial Sense advisor that can help them out?
They can call 888, that's 888-486-3939. And we have experts on this that know all the rules and actually can do all kinds of computations on the options, what your tax options and income benefits would be, and even taking a look at annuitization, because once again, we're in this low interest rate environment, and a lot of people with interest rates below 2% can not simply afford to retire with interest rates this low. So we can help you get through those decisions and show you what your options are.
Well, on tomorrow's Lifetime Planning, we'll have special guest Carolyn Rosenblatt. And we had her on the program just a couple of weeks ago regarding elder abuse. It really was a great show. And tomorrow we'll have her on again, where she'll be going into just a bit more detail. She's definitely in the know on this topic, so I want to highly recommend to our listeners that they tune in tomorrow to hear Carolyn Rosenblatt.
Yeah, because we're going to tell you how to avoid these issues, but we're also going to tell you the legal documents and the means that you can use to make sure this never happens to you. And she's considered one of the top experts in the country. She's not only a registered nurse, she was also a litigating practicing attorney. Today, she does mediation for the courts, and her husband is a geriatric psychologist. So talk about qualifications, one of the best in the country. And she's going to share a lot of the things, her wisdom, her experience, how you can make sure none of this ever happens to you. And the reason we're doing this show, and maybe this has happened to you, you're getting these phone calls. They're from somebody from Medicare, supposedly, or the IRS. Or you're getting a call. My favorite, Chris, I got a call and told me I was behind in my student loans. I mean, that was one of my favorites. I get these almost every other week. And unfortunately, somebody alone or maybe isn't as sharp as they used to be, they get subject to these fraudulent phone calls. And we're going to talk about also some of the other things that happen with, you know, long-term care or some of the abuses that happen in some of these facilities, and also even, believe it or not, with family members, and we'll tell you legally how you can make sure that doesn't happen to you. That's coming up on tomorrow's program. In the meantime, on behalf of Chris Prytower and myself, we'd like to thank you for joining us here on Lifetime Planning. Until you and I talk again, we hope you have a pleasant week.
The Financial Sense News Hour is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered as a solicitation or offer to purchase or sell any securities. The investments, investment strategies, and investment philosophies discussed or presented on the News Hour each involve their own unique risk factors, which are not discussed on the show. Responses to listener inquiries are based on the personal opinions of the Financial Sense staff and do not take into account listener suitability, objectives, or risk tolerance. Financial Sense News Hour and its parent company shall not be liable for any financial losses that result from investing in any companies mentioned in Financial Sense or arising out of the use of any material on the News Hour. Please be advised that you invest at your own risk.